Delighted to be with you. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for singing the song, Give Me the Bible. I hope that's your appeal. I hope that's your demand. Give me the Bible. That's exactly what I brought for you this afternoon. In the book of Romans, chapter 15 and verse 4, Paul told the Romans, For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. And I'd like for us to look to the writings aforetime in Nehemiah chapter 8 and learn some lessons. Do you remember what's taking place here in Nehemiah chapter 8? All the people gathered themselves together as one man before the water gate. They told Ezra to bring the book of the law, and he did that. In verse 3, Ezra read therein, and the people were all attentive unto it. Verse 4, and Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they made for the purpose. And Ezra opened the book, verse 5. All the people stood up. We see their agreement with the word. In verse 6, they said, Amen, Amen. They worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. They caused the people to understand the law. They read in the book and the law of God distinctly. When the people heard the law, they wept. And we go on to read of their obedience to the law. Notice verse 4, the good scripture reading. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood. I want to talk to you this afternoon about some needs of today's pulpit and pew. Some needs of today's pulpit and pew. Beginning with this, we need someone in the pulpit. The people had gathered together to hear the book of the law read, and someone needed to stand in the pulpit to read it. That man was Ezra. He read in the book of the law of God. And we need someone today to stand in the pulpit to read from the book of the law of God, to preach and to teach. As was charged Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. We need men in the pulpit who's going to preach the word. One of the gifts that Christ gave the church in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11 was an evangelist. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Verse 12 says why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Evangelists. We need evangelists today. Someone to fill the pulpit. Someone who preaches the law of God. We read about that in the book of Psalms. In Psalm 119, we really learn the value of the law of God. Psalm 19. Remember in verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Verse 11, moreover by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. What kind of value do you place upon the law of God? More to be desired are they than gold. In keeping of them, there's great reward. We need someone in the pulpit talking about the law of God. Someone who preaches the inspired word of God. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. Who speaks as the oracles of God. 1 Peter 4, 11. Who preaches the whole counsel, all the counsel of God, as Paul did in Acts 20, verse 27. And the church as the pillar and ground of the truth must be constantly teaching and encouraging men to fill the pulpit, as Ezra did in Nehemiah chapter 8. Another need of today's pulpit and pew is that of members gathering together. By the way, thank you for being here. Thank you for gathering, as they did in Nehemiah 8, verse 1, when they gathered themselves together as one man. Today, we need members gathered together. No need to have someone in the pulpit if there aren't members gathering together to hear the book of the law of God. No need to have pews if there aren't members gathering together. We are to be gathering together. You remember in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, in verse 25, we're given a command, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully, after that we've received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. We're commanded not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. In James 4, verse 17, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Do you think it's good to be here? Do you think it's good to assemble with the saints? Absolutely. And if you are not here, you choose to be elsewhere, it is sin. If you had been back in the day of Nehemiah chapter 8, would you have gathered together? Would you have been among them? But in addition to that, we're talking about needs of today's pulpit and pew. We need those who ask for the law of God. In verse 1, they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. They told Ezra, they asked Ezra to bring the book of the law. What are you asking for? What are you demanding? A lot of places aren't wanting the law of the Lord, the book of the law. A lot of places are wanting the book of human wisdom, creed books written by man. Before you ask for that, read 1 Corinthians 2, verse 5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. The gospel is the power of God, Romans 1, verse 16. Many are like those in Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 10, who want deceits and smooth things. Prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. That's what they wanted. You know, there's a lot of people, a lot of places requesting that today. Just like those in 2 Timothy chapter 4, who no longer endure sound doctrine. After their own lust, heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They turn their ears away from the truth, are turned unto fables. Is that you? I hope not. As those did in Nehemiah 8, ask for the book of the law of God. Number 4, another need of today's pulpit and pew is an open book. An open book. They requested, they asked for the law of God, the book of the law. You know what Ezra did with it? In verse 5, Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people, and when he opened it, all the people stood up. He opened the book. You know, there are places today who aren't opening the book of the law of God. They're like those in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 22. You remember what's taking place? In 2 Kings 22, we see Josiah begins his reign 8 years old in verse 1. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And Hilkiah the high priest was to go to the house of the Lord to sum the silver which is brought into the house of the Lord. And you know what they found in there? The book of the law, the word of God. It had been lost in the house of the Lord. They weren't opening it. Verse 10, and Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, and Ahikam the son of Shaphan, and Akbor the son of Micaiah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Asahiah, a servant of the king, saying, notice verse 13, go ye, inquire of the Lord for me, and for the people, and for Judah, concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened to the words of this book to do according unto all that which is written concerning us. They didn't open the book. It had been lost. Do you think that was okay? Do you think because of their ignorance it was going to be overlooked? I want you to notice the consequence, verse 13. Great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us. When the book is not opened, when the Bible is lost, and there are those who are not doing what it says, great is the wrath of the Lord. Open the book. Open the book. Did you know the Word of God is the only source of our divine authority? The only source of divine authority. Matthew 28, verse 18, the Lord said, all power, that's all authority, is given unto me in heaven and on earth. The Lord has all power. He is all authority. You know how God talks to us today, how he speaks to us? Hebrews 1, beginning in verse 1, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us, how? By his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. God speaks to us today by his Son who has all power, who has all authority. And his word is our only source of divine authority. We need to open it up. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You think that requires an open book? Absolutely. In the book of Acts, chapter 20, in verse 32, this book is able to give us an inheritance. Did you know that? Acts 20, verse 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Do you want an inheritance? Open the book. Understand that the books are going to be opened at the day of judgment. We're going to be judged according to this book, the word of the Lord, John 12:48. We see that taking place in Revelation chapter 20, beginning in verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You better believe it. The books will be opened, and we're going to be judged. Open the book. But also, needs of today's pulpit and pew. We need attentive people. They certainly were in Nehemiah chapter 8. In verse 3, and he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday, before the men and the women and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. Did you notice how long he read? From the morning until midday, and the ears of all the people were attentive. I ask you, if you had been there, would you be attentive? Would you have been attentive? It's hard to get people's attention today. Many can't even come to hear the Word of God once a week for a few minutes. And even when that takes place, they're complaining about that. You notice here of late, we're starting to get rid of the afternoon worship service. We're starting to get rid of Wednesday night Bible study. Is that too much? Maybe come once a week, hear a sermon for 20 minutes. Is that too much? Try hearing it read from morning until midday. Would you have been attentive? Or would you have complained? The ears of all the people were attentive. It's hard to get people's attention. It's hard to find people who are attentive to the law of God. It seems they're thinking about everything else. Anything else. Other than what they ought to be thinking about. The ears of all the people were attentive. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10, verse 17. Why is it that there are some who lack in faith? A lack of hearing, a lack of reading, a lack of attention to the book of the law of God. We need those who pay attention. But furthermore, another need for today's pulpit and pew is respect for God's law. Respect for God's law. The kind they had in Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 5. Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. You know what that shows? That shows respect for the book of the law of God. All the people stood up. We need respect for God's law. In the pew, in the pulpit, out of the pulpit. We need respect for God's law. It seems we're finding a lack of respect for God's law a lot of places. Like those in Amos chapter 2 and verse 4, who speaks of those who despise the law of the Lord. Do you despise the law of the Lord, or do you have respect unto it? In Psalm 1, it talks about the blessed man, or the truly happy man. You know him? His delight is in the law of the Lord. Are you the blessed man? Are you truly happy? The truly happy man? You can answer that by honestly asking if your delight is in the law of the Lord. In Psalm 119, we learn about the law of the Lord. Psalm 119, beginning in verse 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Can you say that? Can that be said about you? I suggest to you that those who respect God's law will keep it. John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments, the Lord said. Revelation 22:14, blessed are they who do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, that they may enter in through the gates into the city. You want right to the tree of life? You want to enter in? Keep the commandments. If you don't want to enter in, if you don't want to go to heaven, don't keep the commandments. It's up to you. Number 7. Today we need agreement with God's word. We need agreement with God's word. Those in Nehemiah 8 showed agreement with the book of the law of God. In verse 6, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen. Amen. With lifting up their hands, they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. They said, Amen. You know what that means? That means, so be it. That means, I agree. They heard the word of God spoken and they said, Amen. So be it. I agree. Agreement with the word of God. We've gotten far away from that today, I'm afraid. Do you agree with God's word? Do you? Amen. Amen. So be it. The truth has been spoken and I stand with it. Amen. We need agreement with God's word today. But also, in today's pulpit and pew, we need unity. In verse 1 of Nehemiah 8, all the people gathered themselves together as one man. What a picture of unity. As one man. In the book of John, chapter 17, the Lord prayed for unity. He prayed for oneness. John 17, beginning in verse 20. He prayed, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Oneness, unity. The Lord prayed for that. We're to endeavor for that. Do you endeavor for that? Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 3, Paul told the Ephesians, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Endeavoring. Do you do that? In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul told the Corinthians that we are to be of the same mind. We're to speak the same thing. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 10, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. How do you do that? How do you speak the same thing? 1 Peter 4, verse 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If you speak as the oracles of God, and I speak as the oracles of God, we're going to speak the same thing. How do you be of the same mind? How does that happen? Sometimes hard to find today. How do you do that? Chapter 2, verse 16, for who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. If you have the mind of Christ, and I have the mind of Christ, we're going to have the same mind, aren't we? Speak the same thing. Be of the same mind. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, really sums it up. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you, or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. You want to stand fast in one spirit, You want to be of one mind? You want to strive together? Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. If you do that, and I do that, unity. Why is there so much division? Why is there so much strife? Because one or more is not living as they should, not according to the gospel of Christ. Their conversation is not according to the gospel of Christ. Amos chapter 3, verse 3, can two walk together except they be agreed? If you agree on the standard, the gospel, the word of God, and I agree on the word of God, then we're going to agree together, aren't we? And we can walk together. Then it can be said, Psalm 133, how good and how pleasant is it for brethren to dwell together in unity. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. If there's division, if there's strife somewhere, you need to do what Paul told the Corinthians, examine yourself whether you be in the faith, because something's not right. That's not what God intended. Number 9, in today's pulpit and pew, we need tears being shed. Tears being shed. Nehemiah 8, verse 9, in the latter part, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Can you imagine that? All the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Shows their sincerity. Shows their genuineness. Shows that the word of God did not go in one ear and out the other. It shows that it went to their heart. I would do anything to be able to preach in such a way that I could reach the heart of every person that hears me. Amen. If you know how to do it, please tell me. I want to reach your heart. But unfortunately, that's not the case. So many are the opposite. It hits their toes, it hits everywhere else other than their heart. Don't let that be you. Don't be hard-hearted. They wept when they heard the words of the law. What a great example. What a good heart, just as is taught in Luke chapter 8. And in verse 15, the honest and good heart, who having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. A lot of people today have hard hearts. And the seed of God's word never seems to take root, never seems to affect them, never seems to sink in, doesn't make a change. It doesn't bring tears to their eyes, but it ought to. How sad. Isaiah 66, and in verse 2, we learn who it is that the Lord will look. But to this man will I look. Who will you look to, Lord? Even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. Does that describe you? A poor and contrite spirit who trembles at the word of God? A lot of people are the exact opposite. Trembleth at my word. Do you tremble at it? Do you hear what it says and tremble at it? Does it hit your heart? Do you do it? Take it to heart? Do it? Does it sink in? As an honest and good heart, hears it, keeps it, and brings forth fruit. A good example in Acts 2, verse 37. The Jews on Pentecost were pricked in the heart. And they asked men and brethren, what shall we do? What a great question. That's what the Word of God ought to do to us. Prick us in our heart. And we ought to be moved to say, to ask, men and brethren, what shall I do? When we're convicted of our sin, it ought to bring tears to our eyes. They were told, repent and be baptized, every one of you. And they that gladly received His Word were baptized. Great example. If you had been there, would you have wept? One more lesson, one more need of today's pulpit and pew. is application to our lives, obedience. It's never been enough to only hear the word of God. It's always take more than that, and that is obedience. It must be obeyed, must be applied. And they did that in Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. They found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded by Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month. They were to be keeping the Feast of the Tabernacles, and they weren't doing that. And they found that out when they read it. And they published it and proclaimed it in their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, go forth into the mountain and fetch olive branches and pine branches and myrtle branches and palm branches and branches of thick trees to make booths, as it is written. Verse 16, so the people went forth and brought them and made themselves booths, every one upon the roof of his house. They did exactly what the book of the law of God said to do. I want you to understand, first of all, that you must read the law to know what it requires of you. Before they opened it up, before it was read, they did not know they were to be keeping the Feast of Tabernacles. It was only until they opened the book and read therein that they found written that they were to be keeping the Feast of Tabernacles commanded by the Lord. Why is it there so many today who aren't doing what the Lord requires? They don't know. They aren't reading. They aren't hearing. And I want you to understand that ignorance is not an excuse. Sin will not be overlooked because of ignorance. You're not going to stand before the Lord in judgment and say, well, I didn't know that was in there. I never read that. No one ever told me that. That's not going to be tolerated. That's not going to be overlooked. I'll give you a couple of passages. In the book of Acts chapter 3. Verse 17 beginning. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled. Notice verse 19. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. I wot that through ignorance ye did it. Since it's through ignorance, we're just going to let it pass this time, right? Verse 19. Repent and be ye converted. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 17, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Did you see that? Being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. You better get to reading. You better get to opening the book. You better get to hearing what the Lord requires of you. And once you learn that, you better get to doing it. Blessed are they who do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. It takes application. It takes doing. It takes obedience. The Lord said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. James 1, verse 22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Hebrews 5, 9, the Lord is the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. You don't obey him, you don't have salvation. That's what that's teaching. The word of God must be applied, and that ought to bring out a change. Once you hear, you need to do, and that takes change, a change in your life. Acts 2, verse 28, thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. And once the ways of life have been made known, Acts 3, verse 19, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord.